we had a little discussion, not last week, because last week was Halloween. We had all the Halloween doodahs, and man, we had a good Halloween time. It was really good. A lot of kids and good time, and I know everything was fun and what have you. But the week before that, we just had a little open discussion to begin with because, like I said, I was just seeking out, seeing what was on your heart, what was on mine, what was, you know, because sometimes I get so centered in, so focused, and just kind of my own thoughts and own leadings as far as what's going on. And I really felt led. I felt led. I felt like the Lord led me to open it up and just see what was on your hearts and what was you thinking about. And dominantly, you know, there was a few variations, but pretty much dominantly, I was surprised, not really surprised, but I was surprised maybe that it was so much that that's what was the kind of the dominant thing was everyone was thinking and dwelling on, you know, end times and something in that matter anyway, the latter days and various things that associate with that. And I dwelt on that and been dwelling on it. And, of course, I like I said, I like a Bible study this kind of this time of year. And sometimes we've studied entire books of the Bible, various books over the fall and winter, many different times. That's want to just kind of look at some various passages maybe and do some study on things that surround the last days and even beyond, last events, you know. Even everything that goes beyond even the last days here. And let's just, you know, dig into some of it. And the place I want to start at tonight, it's always been relevant in my mind and very practical to preach. I know back in the 90s, even when I began preaching, it was very relevant then, and it ain't done nothing but get more relevant. And I thought it was red ripe in the 90s, and it ain't nothing but, I mean, it's dripping now. It's so ripe. It's juice running out of it. That's how ripe this text is, and it is so relevant for the age that we live in. So I want to read a portion of Scripture to you tonight that I know most of you know, but it does us good to reread and to restudy, and I always get something new out of it. God's Word's like that. It's here a little, there a little, you know, layers, revelation. Things that you learned last year goes sometimes takes what you read this year deeper, further. That's why you can't never stop reading God's Word. Because it'll go, you'll go further. You'll learn more. There's a deeper level, and you can't just wade out shallow, and keep reading God's Word. Because you keep reading God's Word, you're gonna be in over your head before it's over. But that's the great thing about it. That's why it never gets old. And that is, you've heard me say this. That's why I always get a new Bible every year or so, because because I'm a writer. I write in my Bible all the time. Some people think that's a no-no. I've always did it. It's just one of them things I like to do, especially if I get a thought or something or a certain word, I'll jot it down. The reason I get a new Bible every year or so is because I don't read my old notes. I want it to be fresh. And I might remember some of what I wrote down, but I like the new Bible. So when I read it this time, I'm like reading it brand new. And God can speak to me, and I'm not prejudiced with what I've already learned for the last 20-some years. I've got a tote full of Bible. I'm serious. I mean, I got one of them great big green totes. Actually, one and a half full of Bibles. That's preaching Bibles. And I always get cheap preaching Bibles because they don't last me long. I don't buy the expensive. I Cindy got me one a little bit higher this time. I like it, though. It's nice. It's pretty nice. I get them cheaper ones with the big print now. For bad eyes, so that I can see. But then, like I said, I'm going to use it a year or so, and I'm going to get a nudding anyway. And usually, I've done just about worn out anyway. They get tattered and ragged and rode all over. So it's just as well. But I want us to read this tonight. You'll recognize it. 2 Timothy chapter 3. We'll read like the first 8 verses. And we'll just read it all in succession. And then we'll go back and just study a little bit out of it. And even carry it just a little bit further. How many's heard this verse before? How many thinks it's more relevant even now than it was in the 90s? I mean, it just is. It just is. And I thought it was perilous times in the 90s. So what is it now? Amen. Listen to what the word says. This know also that in the last days, perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontent, fierce despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women, laden with sins, led away with divers or various lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. Amen. It feels like I've just read it for the first time. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for our time together. I thank you, Lord, that your word is on time for this day and this hour. And even what you've put on hearts and made hearts hungry, even for more, Lord, and more revelation, more instruction for the days in which we live. So, Lord, use your word tonight. Help me, Lord, as I try to bring something new and something enlightening, and allow us all even to have input. Allow us all to add unto it with what you put on our heart. So bless our time. Bless those that's here tonight. Lord, we love you. Lord, we need it. We know these times are for sure desperate, Lord God, and perilous. And so we ask you now that you'll touch and anoint what we do here tonight and touch every heart and strengthen everyone. We love you. We praise you. And it's all in the name of our Lord, our Savior, our coming King's name, right here in these last days, in Jesus' name. And all church agree and say, amen. Amen. Come on, let's thank the Lord again. Amen. He's worthy of it. Come on. Amen. 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 Try to approach it just a little bit like a Bible study if we can. As best I can. I'm not too good at that sometimes. Sometimes I get carried away along the way. But we'll mix it in and we'll fade in and fade out with some of it. And try to kind of approach it a little bit as a Bible study. But go back to verse 1 if you want. We'll go all the way back to verse 1 and we'll not be long, try to march through some of this, but we'll start right there. You know, scripture points it out, and I think it's definitely highlighted for me. It's always been a scripture that always stuck out. It always stuck out, but it points out that in the last days, and like I said, I've been believing. The day when I got saved, I thought it was the last days. I did. That's why come I got saved, because this is close. This is close. Amen. I mean, no man knows the day nor the hour. This the season. But I think it's been Jesus coming season for a while. I do. I do. I have felt like that. And I feel even stronger than I did now. But it points out that in those particular days that they would be perilous. And that there's several renderings that you can come off of that. One would be risky. Days like this, in the last days, would be risky or dangerous. Or furious. One word that you'll find used again in the New Testament is fierce. I think that's a proper word. And the reason I would use that word before I would the others is, like I said, the very same word in the Greek is used again in Matthew 8 and 28, where he's talking about, remember we preached on him not long ago about legion. As the Bible says that he would come from the tombs and, And in Matthew 8:28, it says that he was exceeding fierce. It's the same word. It's the same Greek word as perilous. Exceeding fierce. A fierce time. And that the word fierce just adds a little weight to me. I mean, perilous, I understand. I get it, but fierce, I really understand what it is. But the idea of the word, it's talking about, it's the Greek word, and I'll never say, I wish that lady was here. Did y'all hear that lady say that Greek word the other night? I was like, dang. Hey, I learned something. I better be on my marks if I'm going to talk Greek now, hadn't I? That's what I left here thinking. I'm glad I wasn't winging it. Glad I knowed what I was talking about, because she's sitting over there can pronounce the words. But anyway, it's a word that says kalapos or something. Kalapos. And in the Greek, it really means it's fierce, because those in that circumstance, and of course we're using this in the last days, it's talking about it'll be fierce because those of us in the last days, there's a loss of strength. That's what the Greek word means. It really means it's due to or with the idea or the reason it's of a loss of strength. In other words, the times are fierce. The times are fierce because there's a loss of strength is really what the word really means to bring across. Now, and I believe that. And I began to look at this text now with that idea. That's why I study. Bible studies are good. I love Bible studies because they help me. I'll get it, and I never had seen that before. I'd seen the fierce before, but I never took it to the depth to really understand what the Greek was trying to bring out and what he means that it's with the idea or the reason it's fear or the reason it's perilous. Maybe that'll help you. The reason it's perilous is because there's a loss of strength in the end days. It's a loss, loss of power, loss of ability, loss of endurance, or a loss of being able to stand. And you know, you could apply that to many, many different ways. But one of the things that stands out to me in this text now, since thinking of that, I'm looking for a reason why they was the loss of strength. And there's something in this text tonight that I've never seen this. I've preached on various parts of it. I've run through it. But in this text tonight, in the end days, this is something that men seem to be getting, or people, not just men, but people in the end days that they get wrong. Something that they get wrong that causes us to lose strength. Causes them to then to be, you know, put into a perilous situation. And one of the things that this text brings out, these eight verses in three different places, it brings out the idea that men were getting love wrong. I want to share that with you. Men were, or people, humankind, humanity, started getting love wrong. Real love. Started not getting love right. For instance, verse 2, it says men would be now in these days would be lovers of themselves. How many of that's wrong? That's wrong. That's getting love wrong. Or in verse 3, it says it like this, that people would be without natural affection. How many know that's getting love wrong? That's getting love wrong. Or in the last place, in verse 4, it says that they would be lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. That's getting love wrong. That's men and folk getting love wrong. So let's back up. Let's back up just a minute. Let's go back to verse 2, and let's look at this again. Here's the first place of what I want us to see. Men shall be lovers of their own selves. And I believe the list that follows really accompany what happens when we get love wrong and things that begin to unfold. And one of those things is when men love their own self and nobody else. How many of that is wrong anyway? How many know that you can see that in our age? Do you see that in our age? Do you see that that's one of the reasons definitely that this is a fierce time? You run into folk who love themselves more than anything else, more than their families or wives, their kids. That's fierce. Or love something more. It's fierce, perilous. Well, it kind of unfolds. Those kind of people, that they become covetous. They become wanton. And let me know that true love is not that. And true love never covets. In 1 Corinthians 13, in verse 4, it talks about love envieth not. And that's one of the same words for covet. It does not want outside of the rounds of what love should be. It's getting love wrong. That's what I really want to beat in tonight. It's getting love wrong. And then they become boasters and proud. Pride gets in. Once again, you can look to 1 Corinthians where the real genuine love is. The Bible says that love vaunteth itself not up or is not puffed up. Because that's true love. But when love is wrong, there's pride. And there's tons and tons of pride. Then it kind of escalates even into to blasphemers or revilers or you know, in that realm, mockers. Of course, Peter talked to us about that. Railers, railing out, because love is wrong. Disobedient to parents, rebellious. Just rebellious, rebellion. When you get love wrong, it fosters rebellion. I've always told the young kids this too. I see that girl back there. I see her. I don't know if there's any other young. Yeah, there's a few other young kids in here. And I always tell the young kids this, and I think I've told them all this for many years. I said, don't. I wouldn't even date somebody who don't honor their father and mother. That's what I tell them. I said, because if they don't, that's the basic, man. If you run around with somebody who don't honor their father and mother, you think they gonna honor you long? You think they gonna treat you right very long? You think they gonna respect you? And I always tell them that, so that's freebie for all the young people here tonight. Yeah, and you make sure you find, if you're gonna find you that cool boy or that pretty little thing, you make sure that they respect their mother and father. Amen. Because it's a sign that they love themselves if they don't. Lovers of their own self. Amen. Amen. And see, this is how I know perilous times are even more perilous than it used to be, because, man, that used to be a given. It was just a given. It didn't matter who your mama, what your daddy did, or what, man, it was honor. There was respect. Or you picked your teeth up when you was getting up out of the floor. What teeth you could find. Come on, somebody. Amen. And that's just not our age. That's why, I understand the perilousness, don't you? Understand the fierceness now of the age that we live, because we've lost that. We've lost that now, and because they are lovers of themselves. And then, of course, unthankful. It's just another product. Someone who just thinks it's all them. And anyway, that's hard. You'll struggle to get a thank you or any gratitude. And of course, the highlight of that, or the crescendo, the top tier is ends up in, and of course it's just unholy. You know, when you get love wrong, it's heading to unholy. Every time when love is gone wrong, that's really what the title of the message tonight: love gone wrong. And when love is gone wrong, it ends. It'll have all these aspects, but it'll end in unholiness. It'll end. It'll be right there. Amen. I said amen. Amen. Go to verse 3. Verse 3 is kind of the next place. This is another place where love goes wrong. And he brings it out like this. He says, without natural affection. How many know there is just a natural, there's something that should be in us other than when love goes wrong. With our children or with our wives or husbands or with our parents or even with a, there's a neighborly love. There's a natural love that should be in us. Amen. Or even man and woman. Natural. It's just a natural aspect that should be there. And when love goes wrong, and this is, that's what he's talking about. That's why these is going to be this fierce times. It's because they're without this natural affection. They don't got love right. Love's went wrong. Well, it's kind of got another list of its own. And it begins to, it talks about being truce breakers. No peace. You can't bring reconciliation. That's the craziest thing I've seen in this age that I had never seen before. I used to be able to sit down with people, even ones that was radical and crazy and off the wall and drove me nuts. I could sit down with them and we could talk, and in the end they both wanted reconciliation. This is the age nobody even wants reconciliation. They don't want it. They don't want restoration. I've had several conversations over the last couple of years with couples or what all, and that's one of the things that I come away with about every time now. And I've got to where I asked it point blank, do you want reconciliation? And I get the answer no from one of them real often. No. Want no part of it. That's without natural affection. We want to make up. Natural affection wants to be friends. Natural affection wants to make up and reconcile and be restored. That's just the way we are. When me and my wife, we fight, I mean, it ain't long at all with me, and I'm wanting to make up. That's natural affection. Of course, I'm that way. I'm built this way. We can have a little disagreement in the morning, and shoot, by 10 o'clock, I'm thinking we ought to just be done with this. And I think surely by supper time she's going to be okay. Some people's a little different. It takes her a little while. It takes a little longer with her. I'll forget even what's went on. I'll come back in and think, well, what's wrong with you? You don't remember? Evidently not. Amen. But the bottom line is, man, you want to make up. That's how I feel. This age is kind of like what David said in Psalms 120 and 7. He says, when I say I am for peace, but when I speak, they are for war. That's just kind of the age, ain't it? I want peace, but they're for war. It seems like I've been involved with a lot of that here lately, trying to bring reconciliation. I'm trying to speak peace, and they are for war. That's not natural. Amen. I mean, I know we're going to have our difficulties. We're going to have our misunderstandings. We're going to have our head buttons, but the natural thing in us is to try to resolve and to reconcile and make up. I love making up. Just saying. Amen. Making up is good. Amen. It just is. It is. But reconciliation is hard to come by in this age. And then it goes on. It says false accusers. You know what that word is in the Greek? You'll recognize this word. Some of you that studied it a little bit. Diabolos. It's what the word false accusers means. Diabolos, people who've got unnatural affections, they are like Diabolos, which is the devil. Satan, the accuser, slanderer. Amen. That's how that works. Without natural affection, Diabolos. Amen. I got that word down. I didn't need her for that one, but I know that one. Diabolos. I heard somebody else say it a long time ago. I remembered it. Amen. 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 But it's true. It's true. The accuser of the brethren. Amen. That's without natural affection. In content. I can't never say that word right because it's got extra stuff on it. In content. And it just simply means no self-control. No self-control. That's when you're without natural affection. No self-control. Fierce. There's not the same word as what we studied a while ago, but this means savage or mean. Mean-spirited, mean-hearted. Despisers of those that are good. Despisers of good, period, of virtue and of truth. Of hate the holy. Hate anything to do with holy. Going to verse 4, it continues on. Traitors. Traitors, which is the same word, and I didn't write the Greek word down because I couldn't say it, and it was too much for me anyway, but it's the same Greek word for betrayal. It's the same word that they used for Judas. The very same word that they used when they was talking about Judas the betrayer. Betrayal. When there's no natural affection. When love's not right. People betray. It'd be like Judas. Come and kiss Jesus. So they would recognize him so they could take him. Had hung out with him for 3.5 years. See, that's not natural affection. Had hung out with him for 3.5 years. Had ate with him. Had his feet washed. Had been a part of the cup and the bread. And had been in the journey with him. And then betray him for money. With a kiss. See, that's not natural. There's a lot of stuff in our world that's not natural, ain't it? That's not natural affection. It ought not be. We see it all the time. We see it in the news. Clergy, you know, even betraying the trust of kids or others for their own natural lust or whatever or other or even family members. Out natural, betraying the trust of a child without natural affection. Amen. Amen. Do you see why he said, man, these are perilous times? Perilous, so dangerous, so bad. And he says, heady. That just means rash. Just going to bull right on in or fly off and heady. Bam. When you ain't got natural affection, you'll just blow up and fly into it or what have you. You get the idea? Heady. I'll never forget that road rage incident. It's been many years ago now, probably 10 or 12 years ago, where that woman cut that guy off and somewhere in California, I forget now, and he run up to the door. That's heady. Run up to the door, and the little dog was standing there barking at him, and he grabbed that dog out from her lap and throwed it over into the traffic. I'll never forget that story because I love dogs. I'd have killed him too. I would have too. I'd have been heady. He'd have been out there in the traffic with the dog. Tell you that right now. Yeah, that's the way I feel about it too, but that's what I'm talking about. That's not natural. It's without natural affection. Amen. Sometimes you wonder how things go wrong. Well, it's because how things happen that quick. What went natural? No natural affection. No love. Love gone wrong. No love to curve it. To tone it down. No love to water it down enough to keep it where it's not going to get crazy. Fierce times. Perilous. Perilous. When love's gone wrong. High-minded. It says high-minded. Conceit. Think of your own thoughts and self-conceit. I'm right. Amen. Last one, the last one where love is gone wrong is here. Now this is the top tier, I would say. Although definitely being a lover of self is definitely will take you to unholy places, and we've done seen that definitely you also go to bad places without the natural affection. But here it is. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Part of what makes the days perilous, part of what makes the days treacherous or fierce. But lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Verse 5, and he starts it out then. He says, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Having just the form. Religious. Got some religion, got a form. Got some religion, but self-serving and self-seeking. Let me say that again. Got some religion, go to church, sing a song or two, participate somewhat, but self-serving and self-seeking. Because of being a lover of pleasure more than a lover of God. Amen. Amen. How many know form don't get us anything? The box don't get us nothing. It's got to be so much more. It's got to end up being, and what it's after is of course faith, but it's love out of a pure heart that works faith. Galatians, give me Galatians 5 and 8 there, Dusty. 5 and 8, I believe it is. Or 5 and 6. 5 and 6. 5 and 6, I'm sorry. For in Jesus Christ, you see, he's talking about there's no form, and that's where he's using circumcision. Circumcision or uncircumcision. Anything religious, it don't really matter. That's not the point. Circumcision or uncircumcision, or the duty or whatever duty. That's not the point. But faith which worketh by love. That's the whole point. A form or the religion itself, it has no strength. Amen. Amen. He goes on, going back to verse 5, I guess it was. Verse 5, having the form of God, but denying the power of from such, turn away. Verse 6, for of this sort are they. Now, I'm not going to get into every detail of this, but I think you'll get the gist of it. Which creep into houses, lead captive, and it's not just silly women, but I'm going to tell you what, anybody that's foolish or vain, laden with sin, led away then, with various lusts. Here's what happens. When you are a lover of pleasure more than you are a lover of God, this is what happens. We become deceivable. We can be led away. Anything you love more than God, that can lead you away. How are you going to stay? Led away. Various lusts. 1,001 lusts, whatever yours is, if you love it more than you love God.
Amen. Amen.
That's the thing that can lead you away. If it not for the grace or the work or some intervention of God. Amen. Deceivable. Led away. Captive even. Captive. I've seen a lot of people get led out of the church and go back to some sort of captivity, some sort of bondage. And it was a simple reason. They love that more than they love God.
Amen.
Amen. Perilous. Makes it perilous. Dangerous times. Dangerous times. Verse 7. Ever learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of truth. Ever learning, but never really able to come to the knowledge of truth. Just can't quite know it. Can't quite get a hold to it in such a way. Ever learning, but just can't quite get a hold to it. Amen. Amen. He goes on in verse 8. Even as Jannes, of course, how many remember them? Them was the magicians that opposed Moses and Aaron. Remember they opposed Aaron and Moses come into Pharaoh's court. I believe it's Exodus 7. I forget now, but I believe that's where it was at. And they would Aaron throw down his rod, Moses threw down the rod, and it was turned into a snake. Well, the magicians come in, they throwed all theirs down. Jannes and Jambres and some others even. They throw theirs down and theirs become snakes. I mean, know the devil can work sorcery as well. But here's the thing the devil couldn't do. Aaron's snake ate their snake. I've always loved that story. How cool is that? How cool is that? God's snake eat their snakes. And I'd be like, I bet they did that. I'm like, yeah. But as they withstood, and so do these people that resist the truth. Have you ever noticed someone who loves pleasure more than loves God? They resist the truth. I'm going to tell you what, I wear myself out sometimes talking to people that love pleasure more than they love God and the resistance I get to the truth. Church people. I ain't going to call them saved, but I'll call them church people. Church people resisting because they love pleasure. Just like this is what they're saying. That's how this all operates. Who resists the truth. Keep pushing it back. Keep pushing it back. Romans 1:25 tells it like this. Romans 1:25, it says, who changed the truth of God into lie, worshipped and served the creature more than the creator. Because resisting the truth. Without this love for God. And then 2 Thessalonians 2:10. 2 Thessalonians, with all deceivableness, remember the deception? When you love pleasure more than love God, of all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. Why? Because they would not receive, kept resisting the love of the truth that they might be saved. That's why I said I'll call them church people. I don't know if I'll call them saved because I might be contradicting this scripture if I ain't careful. Daggone preacher, that's hard. No, it's just God's word. I'm not judging either way. They might be saved. I don't know, but I'm just reading the word. I don't know, but it's just always this resistance. And it's for one reason. Love something more than they love God. Something more. And finally, go back to verse 6 or 7 or 8, wherever we was at, Dusty. And we'll finish with this part right here. And it says, reprobate concerning the faith. Reprobate concerning. And you know what that just simply means? A lot of times that's a big honking word, but you know what it just plainly means? Unprincipled. Without standards. A person who has no principles. When you are a lover of things more than you're a lover of God, there's no principles. There's no standard. There's no truth. There's nothing you'll stand for. You won't stand for if you ain't got nothing to stand for. So when sweet thing comes and blinks at you, or he thing comes and swells up at you. Without principles, convictions, standards, truth. You'll love that more than you love God. Perilous times. Perilous times. So I said all that to say this. Man, they got love wrong. That's what's going on in the end days. That's what's making the end days so crazy. That's what's made our world so crazy. We got love wrong. Our world is like it is right now. Just take a good look at it. Take a good look at it. Just looking at what we've had, and we could have went deeper, and I'm sure somebody could have done it better. But just take a look at our world. They're getting love wrong. And it's the mess it is because of that. I don't think this is exhaustive stuff. I think this is just some stuff that is plain. I think there's a whole lot more that could be said, and Paul could have even said. But I think this just gives you a good idea that when you get love wrong, this is just what goes on. It's what happens. If you ain't got natural affection, it's what happens. If you love things more than you love God, it's just where it goes. If you love yourself more than anything else, it's just where it goes. Amen? I believe it. It's get love wrong. Y'all remember back in the 80s? How many remember back in the 80s? It might even have been the late 70s. I don't know. Remember an old rock group named Foreigner? You act like you had a bad experience. Anyway, they sung this song. And I was a big Foreigner fan. That's why I even remember it. I really did. She's cold as ice. That's not the song, but that's the song I remember. But anyway, I remember this other song. Remember, this was one of their great big hits. I want to know what love is. That was one of their big, big songs. And that's really our world. Our world is like looking for that answer, like Foreigner was. But here's what I want you to hear out of all that. Here, and this is how they're getting love wrong. This is how love has went wrong. And this is how come Foreigners could never find it in a song. They would have never found it in a song. It's because this, listen, because God is love. One of the simplest verses in all the Bible, but probably overlooked more than any, or probably not even thought on. God is love. And any kind of disconnect from Him in any way, you can't help but get love wrong. It's only by being as connected to Him, it's only by, let me say it like this, it's only by getting God right that you'll ever get love right. There's no getting love right if you get God wrong. You're wasting a life. And you stand up like Foreigner and you can sing that. Come on into the 2000s. And they're still not going to know what love is. Because God is love. God is love. Even when it comes to natural affection, it was because of our connection to Him and coming from Him that we even had that. And can you see the further away from God that we're getting as a people, as a nation, the further, the worse we get love. We've become a nation now, not of love, but of hate. That's what we are. We're a nation of hate. A lot of churches are churches of hate in this hour that we live in. Because they're getting it wrong with God. That's the whole point. That's why times was perilous, fierce, risky. Because they're getting love wrong because they got God wrong. You want to get love right? Well, you got to get God right. I learned that. The day I got saved, I was all three of those things before I got saved. I loved myself. I loved myself so much, I hated myself. I loved myself to death, to the point that I ended up hating myself without natural affection. lovers of everything else but God. And it wasn't until I got saved that I realized, that I even began, and all of a sudden, I could even love my wife. I couldn't love my wife till I got God right. I don't know why we can't get that. That's one of the greatest messages or the greatest things I ever learned about salvation. Man, the minute I got saved and I began to get God right, love came down. And love came in. I'll never forget, we'd been married all them years, and this might be little to you, but it wasn't to her or me. And the week I got saved on a Sunday, and I think on Tuesday, for the first time ever in my life, I took her roses home. Ever. After 7-8 years. Because all of a sudden, I had got God right. That's what had happened. That's all that changed. I got God right. And love come in. Amen. And it's what allows us to have relationship, healthy relationships. It's when we have a healthy relationship with God. Without a healthy relationship with God, you'll not have any healthy relationships. It'll all be built on you. Yeah, be no self-sacrifice, no anybody else. You'll never be able to love somebody else. You'll never be able to fulfill Jesus' command, the new commandment I give you, that you love as I have loved you. Got to get God right. Got to get God right. That's what's created these perilous times. That's why we've become a nation of hate. And what used to be a nation of love. That's why there's so many hate groups. That's why we can't even have a decent election now without so much hate. I appreciate a good, hearty campaign, but the hate. Amen. Got to get God right. I ain't got time to go any deeper. I was going to read 1 Corinthians 13 all the way through to chapter 14, verse 1. Because it's just good to read it every now and then, because you can tell if you're getting love right. 1 Corinthians 13, I know we just read it at weddings a lot and don't pay much attention in. But oh no, it lets us know, are we getting love right? I ain't got time to read it all tonight because we're almost out of time. But there's a lot of stuff in 1 Corinthians 13 that helps you know. If you ain't, bears all things, endures all things, hopes all things, never quits, never fails. See, if you ain't getting love right, it's because you ain't got God right. Amen. You getting God right, you're going to get love. I wanted to just bring that in as we come in, because we're studying these last days. And I, you know me, I'm all the time looking for something that applicable and that will help us. And I think if these are the last days and they're really fierce and perilous, as the word brings out, like a legion of devils, that fierce, a legion of devils fierce. What he likened the end days to. It would do us good to get love right, wouldn't it? By getting God right. Man, that's the idea that would keep us from losing strength and becoming susceptible to these perilous times. They're not perilous to us if we've got God right. Paul, come on. Amen. I want to know what love is. That boy ain't right. Oh, but he loves. He loves, he loves, he loves. I thank the Lord for the love. I thank the Lord that the Holy Ghost sheds love in our heart. Man, aren't you thankful for that? I'm thankful tonight that we can sit in here and have love one towards another. I'm thankful that we can go out here and down the road and have so much love, somebody can do us wrong, and we can reconcile. Man, that's love, ain't it? I can want peace. You can do me wrong as you want, and I still want peace with you. That's love. That's the way it's supposed to be.